Well, good morning. My name's Kirk, and it's good to see all of you this morning. I guess you already know who I'm voting for. Just a quick show of hands. How many of you are Democrat? No, we're not going to go there today. So if you're thinking, what in the world are we getting ourselves into? We're not talking this morning about political parties, and I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. I don't know if some of you have heard, but there's a coalition of some pastors, I guess, that thought it was kind of repressive for them not to be able to tell the world who they're voting for. And so they've sort of tested this law in our nation that says that pastors aren't supposed to advocate for a particular candidate. And I guess they decided they wanted to let their voices be heard. Obviously, religion and politics are the two things that you're supposed to never talk about. And so here we are. We're bringing them both together. So how about that? Let's stand for closing prayer and we'll go home. But in case you missed it, maybe you've been on a vacation very far, far away, maybe another country or perhaps another planet. You know, this is election season, and I think it's really designed to help all the media outlets generate lots of advertising revenue because they're making a mint, are they not? I don't know if you're like me, but I won't even pick up my phone anymore. We have this phone and the caller ID tells you what the number is, and it always says 800 number, and I just think, I don't want to hear from Mr. Obama. I don't want to hear from Mr. Romney or any of their friends today. Thank you very much. And so if you want to call me in the next couple of weeks, call my cell phone because I probably won't pick up my regular phone. It's just sort of on hiatus. But this is really a crazy, crazy time of year. Just out of curiosity, and there's no right or wrong answer to this, but how many of you enjoy the election season? This is just kind of an interesting time of year. Nobody. Okay. Well, perhaps you've seen this. I desperately need a hide political post button on Facebook so I can still like all my friends after the election year is over. I thought that was pretty good, and it really describes a lot of people that I know. It seems like everyone has an opinion, everyone has a thought, and they're trying to share it with the world. And unfortunately, much of it is compressed into these sound bites that don't necessarily really speak the truth. And we know even from the debates that half the things that they say in the debates don't seem to be true, according to factchecker.com and all these other sites. So it's a really crazy, confusing time of year and time of every 4 years. And some of you are just like, I just turned the whole thing off and la, 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 la. Well, this morning I want to share with you a few thoughts about this upcoming election from God's Word. I won't tell you who to vote. Like I said, it's against the law, but I do want you to hear from God. And that's always my desire, in fact, around here, that you hear from the Word of God. And I say this from time to time, but it bears repeating. If you ever hear anything from my lips that disagrees with the Word of God is the authority around here. I'm not the authority. I do my best to try to speak the authority of God's Word and try to present it in a way that's helpful, understandable, applicable, and life-transforming. But the Word of God is our authority. Jesus Christ is the head, the senior pastor of Scio Community Church. It's not me, it's not our elders, it's not even our denomination, as good as the Christian and Missionary Alliance is. But Jesus Christ is the head of our church. Jesus Christ is our authority around here. And we're going to go not to the political pages of the newspaper, not to trends and things that are being in the media today. But we're going to spend a little bit of time just looking a bit at God's Word and what God's Word might have to say about the upcoming election. The Bible should inform everything in our lives. Our Sunday activities, Monday through Saturday, it should inform the way that we vote, the food that we buy, the conversations that we have, the actions that we take, the way that we spend our money and our time. And so it seems appropriate in this election season just to take a week, a moment, and talk about what would God say about this crazy, crazy time in which we're in? Special thanks to the Green Room for allowing us to borrow the logo that was developed. We've been doing a number of things together in recent days. But I think it's appropriate before we go any further just to pray together. Lord God, I thank you that you are ruler on the throne, that you are above all, that you are creator of all. As we've sung this morning, you are so great, name above all names, Jesus, you are worthy of all praise. And we want to praise you, we want to worship you, we want to bring you glory as we gather this morning, as we open your word, as we share a meal together, as we go and serve you this coming week, and as we prepare for an election that will undoubtedly shape the future of our nation and our world, this world that you've created. I pray for your wisdom and guidance, and as I do each week, Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would please you, my God, my King. In Christ's name, amen. Well, as we begin, I just want to say that we are not citizens of this world. Well, actually, we are. We are citizens of this world. Some of you are citizens of the U.S. I know we have some Canadian citizens, and maybe some of you are citizens of other nations. But ultimately, we are just visiting this planet because we are citizens of heaven. That we have an eternal destiny, a place that's reserved for those that follow Jesus Christ. That if you want to spend today with Jesus, He invites you to spend eternity with Him. And it's really important as we talk about politics and elections and such to realize that we do have roles and responsibilities in this land, in this nation, but that ultimately we're citizens of a much greater place, and that is the kingdom of God. Now, there's a great story that I heard not long ago about a man who needed to get his shoes repaired. There was kind of an emergency situation. He was on traveling on business, and he had an issue with his shoes. And so it was getting close to 5 o'clock, and he darted over to the shoe repair store. And he was saddened to look at his clock and realize it was about 5 o'clock. The sign on the door said the hours ended at 5 o'clock. And in fact, the parking lot was empty. And the guy thought, I've missed my opportunity. I'm going to do my best to just, you know, maybe by chance there's someone inside. So he goes up to the door and he knocks on the door, and to his surprise and delight, the shoe repairman comes to the door and says, "We're just about to close, but how can I help you?" And the guy was just stunned. He's like, "Thank you. I didn't even see a car in the parking lot." And he said, "Oh, yeah, I don't have a car. You see, I live here. I live actually upstairs. I just work down here." And what a helpful way to view what our lives are like, that we're citizens of upstairs. We're just working down here. We're just spending time down here. And Philippians 3:20 even speaks to this, that we live up there, we're just visiting, we're spending time down here. While we are here, we are to glorify God. Whatever we can to reflect God's kingdom, His rule, His reign. Jesus taught us to pray that God's kingdom would come and His will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Obviously, His kingdom and our planet look very different from one another, but there's much that we can do to prompt change, to bring God's kingdom to bear. Jesus spent so much time talking about God's kingdom. And he said there's basically two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of God, and there's the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of this world. And we have choices every day that we make, not only in an election booth, which we don't actually do every day, but how we live our lives. Are we going to live for God's kingdom, that His kingdom would be evident in this world? Or are we going to live for the ways of Satan, the ways of the world that are diametrically opposed to God's? God values order, and as He has established institutions, He's established government. Some people say, well, I hate government. I want nothing to do with government. It's just me and Jesus. But God has instituted government. In fact, there's four different institutions that He's created. One is individual, that we have individual rights and freedoms and behaviors. The second is family, and God has created the institution of the family, that within the family unit, things take place. There's order. There's growth, there's plan and purpose. He's created the church, and together, SIO as well as the church at large, the universal church, that there are ways that we are to behave and serve one another and care for one another. And then he has created civil government. It's not the government's job to replace the other three institutions. It's the government's job to support it, to serve and support it. Romans 13:1, which Annie read a few moments ago, says that everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. And it's important for us to understand that God has established government. God has established those in charge. And it doesn't mean that the actions of every political leader reflect God's character and His nature. But then again, we have an opportunity in this nation, something that many people around the world don't have, to have a part and a say in who that person is or who those people are. This does not mean that we should always obey the authorities when they create laws that violate God's word. We talked this morning in the practice and gave some examples about people who have followed the ways of the world to some extent, but when those ways interfered with God's laws, they broke the law. Because God's laws, God's ways are higher, and the government should serve and support God's ways, not contradict them. We talked this morning about the midwives, that when the reason was to destroy every baby boy, they hid and protected these precious lives that God cared for. And great things happened through that, in particular a man named Moses and the people of Israel. That sometimes we are called to disobey the laws of our land when they go against God's ways. It does mean, though, that ultimately God is in control. He's in charge. Governments are to reflect His rule. Our trust and allegiance should be to Him and not to a political party, not to a politician. And tragically, many people fear the government more than they fear the Lord. You know, we talk a lot in our nation about freedom. And freedom is, it's one of the highest values. He's given us free will. He's given us choice. He's given us an ability to choose to follow Him or not. And one of the principal hallmarks of God's kingdom is one of freedom. So how do we know God's kingdom? Scriptures are filled with verses and passages that talk about God's kingdom. But one of my favorite passages, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, "Do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' 'What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." So much of our politics is based on these things. What shall we wear? What shall we eat? About economic issues, about jobs, about money and finance. These things are important, but Jesus puts them all into perspective. And He says ultimately to seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness, and all these other things will be given as well. That we need to seek God's kingdom. We need to seek God's kingdom when we vote, but we need to seek God's kingdom every day of the year. And reflect His rule, His reign, His laws, His purposes in our lives, in our families, in our church. And ultimately, that would be contagious and leak out around us. There are some parts of the Democratic platform that reflect the kingdom of God, and some that don't. There are some things about the Republican platform that represent well the kingdom of God, and there are many things that don't. The kingdom of God is His rule, His plan, His program, and it is His comprehensive rule over all the universe, over all creation. The kingdom of God, His agenda is the visible demonstration of the comprehensive rule of God over every arena of life. All of life is spiritual, since it's all to be lived under His rule. So we're to seek His kingdom. And as we prepare for November 6th, I want to urge you also to not only seek His kingdom, but to pray. Pray for wisdom in voting. Pray for our leaders, both current and future. Pray for our nation. We desperately need the power of God, the hand of God in our lives. And I also want to urge you to unite. One of the things that fascinates me about politics is how it's all about division. Have you noticed this? People get so amped up. They get so passionate. And the first attempt in conversation is usually one of division. It's one to find differences and to tear apart. Oh, you're this? I'm this. You believe that way? I believe this way. And there seems to be this raging war going on. In fact, the word that we use to describe the interactions between the political figures is a debate. The nature of a debate typically is that there's a winner and there's a loser, and you try to figure out what do you have differently from one another, and you try to divide. That's what the world's kingdom is all about. It's all about division. In fact, Jesus said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that means relationships. That means families. That means nations. But Jesus said that I come that you may have life and have it to the full. That God's kingdom agenda is one of unity. It's one of coming together. It's one of figuring out what do we have in common. How can we celebrate the things that we have in common? And whether you're talking politics or even you're talking about matters of faith, friends, if we can seek what we have in common ground and build upon that, build upon the relationships, then we're going to earn the right to be heard. I've seen so many people approach non-Christians with this divisive attitude that seems to highlight all the things that they have not in common, all the differences. An attack. You're this way, and this is the way you should believe. And instead of first listening, finding common ground and building upon that. I mean, at the end of the day, folks, we all have to share the ramifications of this election. I've heard people say, well, I hope so-and-so fails in office. And I think, for the sake of our nation, I hope everyone that is a leader succeeds to God's kingdom, to God's agenda. That we're to pray for our leaders and pray that they would have wisdom from God and do their best to honor the rule and reign of God in our world. The kingdom of God is not about division, but it's about unity. Not uniformity, but about unity. And as I said last week, one of my favorite images of the Christian church is that of a mosaic, a group of broken pieces of glass, all uniquely shaped, but broken, that the sun can shine through and create a beautiful work of art. Every human being is created with value, dignity, and worth, and we need to see that in other people, even those people we disagree with, people from other faiths, people from other political persuasions, because it's love that's compelling, right? It's not hatred. It's not how good of a debate we are. I'd like to change the word debate and talk about dialogue, where we can learn from another, that we can understand each other, and that we can build upon that with trust and deeper relationship. When we establish common ground, we can further the relationship. I also urge you to vote. I know there's some people that say, well, you shouldn't vote, or it's a waste of vote, or if you vote, you give credence to everything that these people stand for or whatever. I just say it's a privilege. It's a privilege that so many people don't have. And I encourage all of you to vote. We have the privilege of seeking what will best advance God's kingdom and then contributing to it. But it's more than just a privilege. I believe it's a responsibility. You've been given a voice. Use it. You can argue and you can debate about many things regarding our founding fathers and whether they were Christians or deists. This, that, and the other thing. But two things that we know. We know that freedom was a high value of the founding fathers in this nation. And they wanted to give the people an opportunity, a voice to speak. And we have that option every election day to let our voices be heard and to contribute to what we believe would be God's kingdom reflected in our world. Our church's mission, both as individuals and corporately, is ultimately to bring God glory. We talk about the Great Commission and the Great Commandment, serving our communities, about sharing our story and sending out disciples. But as we've been saying the last several weeks in our series on glorified and worship, it's about God's glory. Vote in a way that brings God's glory. Act and serve in a way that brings honor and glory to our God. Everything we do is to be done for God's glory. So let's glorify Him in the voting booth. He's so worthy. Study the candidates. Study the issues. Do your homework. But don't, at the same time, take this election too seriously. We can trust. Our money says, in God we trust. And yet no one wants to trust God. We want God to bless America, but we don't want to trust God with our money and with our lives and with our nation and our future. But friends, our God can be trusted. And regardless of what happens at the polls in a couple weeks, you can know that our God is still on the throne. In fact, I was thinking about this. If we have leaders lead us closer to God's kingdom, to His rule and reign on this earth, we win. Right? We want, obviously, to see that happen. We want to see God's rule and reign. But here's the interesting thing. If there are people elected that go against God's ways, they bring us closer and closer into darkness. I've read to the end of the book and it seems like that could be good news for us too. So either way we win, because our hope and our trust is not in a politician. It's not in a candidate or a political party. It's not even in the money. It's in God. It's in the God that is greater. The greater than anything we could ever imagine. Anything we can hope or dream. He's greater than sickness and disease. He's greater than depression. He's greater than job loss. He's greater than slavery. He's greater than any issue that we face. And that gives me hope. Debbie, I'm so thankful for the songs you picked this week because it just reminds us of how great our God is. Because we hear how great these politicians are. We hear how great these athletes are. I'm sorry. We need to go back to hope for a moment. Rough night last night. But the God is greater. So regardless of what happens, we win. The God is sovereign and He's in control. And I'm just really, really excited about being a citizen of this nation, this great nation, but so much more about us being a citizen of heaven and knowing that ultimately God is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. I want Jesus ultimately for president, and I know He's not on the ballot, and I know that writing His name in on the ballot's really not going to do a whole lot of good. But ultimately, He will win. Ultimately, Jesus will be the president, the ruler, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And He's not going to rule and reign for 4 years. He's not going to rule and reign for 8 years. It says in Revelation at the end, He says, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice, He judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on His head are many crowns. He has a name written on Him that no one knows but He Himself. He's dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and His name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following Him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of His mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And on His robe and on His thigh, He has His name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's my King. That's my president. That's my ruler. That's my authority. One of my favorite verses in all of Scripture, it says in Lamentations, You, O Lord, reign forever. Your throne endures from generation to generation. And so many times we read things in the Bible and we read promises about God, and it's written to a particular person, a particular place, a particular time. But what I love about this verse is it speaks of all times. It speaks of 2012. As well as thousands of years ago when it was written. Because our God reigns forever. And that means tomorrow. And that means November 6th. And that means 2013. And 3013. And 4013. From generation to generation to generation. That's our God. That's our King. And as the music team comes up, we're going to sing another song together just to remind us about our God, about who our God is. He's not running for office. He's not bringing about an agenda for people to vote on. He's establishing His rule and reign, and we choose to follow or reject. But ultimately, He will rule and reign forever and ever and ever and ever.